I'm Esther Rakusin of WRFI Community Radio, and I'm speaking with Leslie Danks Burke, a lawyer from Ithaca, New York, and president of Trailblazers PAC. The mission of the PAC is to provide resources for local candidates to rebuild ties between voters and their democracy, one front porch conversation at a time. Danks Burke spoke at this past weekend's fifth annual meeting of the Democratic Women of the Southern Tier and Finger Lakes that took place in Seneca Falls. Leslie, thanks for talking with me today. What were some of the goals of the organizers of the meeting?
The Democratic Women of the Southern Tier and Finger Lakes is a wonderful organization that connects women and people who support women candidates across 14 counties in upstate New York, dominantly in the Southern Tier and the Finger Lakes. And so this was their fifth annual conference, and it was a great event. There were many speakers. One of the conversation topics was on gerrymandering. Another conversation topic was a presentation by journalist Louise Bernicau, who spoke about the history of the women's rights movement, and that was very fitting given that we were meeting in Seneca Falls. It was a wide-ranging discussion that aimed to encourage more women to run for local office in our region.
The first speaker was Dr. Mira Bernstein, who talked about the geometry of redistricting and gerrymandering. I'm wondering, why did the organizers invite her to speak, and what was her take-home message?
She is part of a group of mathematicians at Tufts University who are studying gerrymandering and hoping to bring whatever math and science can bring to the conversation table. Obviously, mathematicians don't come in with any predetermined objectives in terms of political outcomes, but what she was trying to do was just give a sense of what mathematics can do to inform the conversation. And actually, as a group of people who that weekend were gathered in support of Democratic Women, it was a really interesting conversation because we learned about ways that gerrymandering over the decades has been helpful to particular political parties and hurtful to particular political parties. And her objective was just to get us educated.
Is there a universal message that women can get out to voters in these regions? And is that one of the focuses of the Democratic Women of the Southern Tier?
With respect to gerrymandering in particular, one of the pieces of information that a lot of people might not know is that district lines are drawn every 10 years, and they are drawn based on the national census that happens in the United States every 10 years, and they are drawn by local elected officials, either at the county level, you know, among county legislators, or at the state level. The state legislatures are who draw the state district boundaries and also the congressional. So gerrymandering, if it happens, and sometimes it does, obviously, is not a facet of federal law. It's something that comes from the state levels. And so that was really interesting to discover, that it's our local elected officials who really carry the power there.
And who are the officials who carry the power?
You know, whichever party is in power and in control of the state legislature at the time that the redistricting happens. So, you know, in a state where the state legislature is controlled by the Republican Party, then the Republicans would get to draw the map. That's just one of the assets of being in power in a census year. If the Democrats are in control, then the Democrats get to draw the map. That's usually how it's done. Now, sometimes it won't be done by a legislature. For one reason or another, a dispute might make its way to the court system. And actually, that's what happened in New York in 2010. We had a census, and it turned out that New York State was losing two congressional seats because New York State as a whole had lost population relative to other states. And by 2012, the state legislature still had not drawn the new district lines to compensate for the fact that there were two fewer congresspeople in New York State in 2012. And so because the state legislature was so busy arguing with itself about what the lines would be, it ultimately got sent to a judge, and there was a federal court judge who ended up drawing the district lines that we now have in New York State. those are the lines that put, for example, Tompkins County into the 23rd congressional district, which is currently held by Congressman Reed. It was a federal judge who, in my personal opinion, approached the matter with a great deal of fairness.
What did you discuss during your presentation at the meeting?
So it was my role to introduce Congresswoman Grace Meng, and Congresswoman Meng is a member of the Democratic National Committee. She's a vice chair of the DNC, and she very graciously came to give the keynote talk to our conference. And so in my introductory remarks to her, I spoke a little bit about the importance of all of us coming together to recognize that perhaps particularly in light of Seneca Falls and the generations of women who had taken many different tactics to obtain women's right to vote, that there are obviously going to be lots of different ways to engage in the political process, and that all of those are necessary and important to achieving our common objective, which is to get more voices to the table. And so that was what I really emphasized in introducing Congresswoman Meng, and then she, after that, gave us some really inspiring and insightful remarks about the way that the Democratic National Committee is now engaged in a listening tour, and she personally is engaged in a listening tour to understand more of what all the Democratic voices can bring to the table.
And where is she going on her listening tour?
So she was really on a campaign to listen and hear from the folks who she considered to be experts, because there's a lot of rural Democrats who've been doing this kind of work for a long time and can really use some additional help and support.
And so you feel that the rural Democrats were not being listened to before?
I think that there has been a challenge in the Democratic Party to reach beyond certain urban borders in some cases. And I think that that's a challenge that, you know, bore out in the 2016 races, and that there's a lot of really good people who are now trying to remedy.
I sense that that's part of the mission of your PAC, the Trailblazers PAC, because you are helping people running for local seats. And I also noticed that you're speaking to people in Pennsylvania as well. How are you contacting Democrats in rural areas, and what kind of topics are you discussing?
Well, so one of the things about Trailblazers PAC that is of interest is that we are actually nonpartisan. So we're not particularly about any political party or another. Nonpartisan is obviously different from bipartisan. We are agnostic on party. We are just interested in getting more good voices to the table and getting more good people running for office. You know, I was at the Democratic Women Conference in, you know, my capacity as a Democrat and a former Democratic candidate, and excited to do what I can to help engage more rural Democratic voices. But as you very accurately pointed out, Trailblazers PAC is working across New York State and Pennsylvania with candidates at the county level and below. So we work with local office candidates, which a lot of PACs focus just on maybe the presidential level or statewide levels or congressional races. We're taking a very different approach and focusing only on local office candidates, because we believe that that is where the ball starts, and that we need to begin funneling more candidates into the pipeline and more elected office holders into the pipeline who are very accountable to their voters and who are tied to their districts and to the people in their districts.
What other types of races are, you know, the people that you're working with engaged in?
So a lot of counties have a county executive, for example. Tompkins County doesn't have a county executive, but a lot of counties do. That handles the administrative and sort of the executive role at the county level. There's also county legislators who come together in a county legislature or a county board of supervisors, town candidates, local village candidates. We supported a couple of village candidates in the March New York village races. We were very proud that we were batting 500. One of our candidates won and one did not win. But in both cases, our candidates really changed the conversation in the villages that they were running in, and we think that's all to the good.
And what kind of conversations are people talking about?
What we really want to see is more emphasis on what we're calling front porch politics. Our motto is that we're moving politics out of the back room and onto the front porch. We want to see a real emphasis on clean government and on making government accessible to voters. We want voters' voices back in the conversation. We want to see big money interests moved out of the conversation, or at least to a diminished role in the conversation. We want to see candidates and office holders beholden to their voters.
How do you get people out of their offices and off their computers to get on their front porch and talk with political candidates?
We have to go to the voter. And, you know, there's an acronym in political world, GOTV, which most people consider get out the vote. But in our organization, we talk about it as go to the voter. And we need to see our political candidates and our office holders reaching out directly to voters by showing up on their doorstep, by showing up on their front porch, and literally moving conversation out of the back room onto the front porch.
Just moving back to the topic of the Democratic women of the Southern Tier and Finger Lakes, I'm wondering, what were some of the topics that were discussed at the meeting?
Well, I would say that the two big conversation topics were the gerrymandering conversation, and then we had a very lively conversation about the Constitutional Convention proposal that is going to be voted upon this year in 2017 by everyone who votes in New York State elections. And so there's a rule under New York State law that every 20 years, the people of New York State must be asked whether they'd like to have a constitutional convention or not. And so this year, 2017, is one of those years. And so it will show up on all of our ballots this November, do we want to have a constitutional convention or not? And there's a very lively conversation happening about that. And I think that the conversation could probably be boiled down to an argument over whether a constitutional convention could actually change anything. That, you know, there's sort of universal consensus that New York State is dealing with a lot of corruption and that there's a lot of real challenges in terms of how decisions get made in New York State. But would a constitutional convention actually change that? Or would the powers that are already there just co-opt the convention to make it even worse? So that's kind of the lively debate that's happening, and it was borne out in force in the conversation that we saw.
So there were people on both sides of the issue at the meeting.
Yes.
And so just speaking of voting, I'm wondering what your position is on the New York Votes Act that is kind of being debated in the legislature. This would make certain parts of voting easier in the state, such as having early voting, automatic voter registration. You know, what are your thoughts on that act?
Well, so I am all in favor of making it easier for New Yorkers to vote, and you know, we have a pretty atrocious voting turnout in New York State, especially in local election years like 2017. And, you know, it's a big part of my work to try and increase that and try and get more voters participating in the conversation, because I just think that we do better if there are more people included in the conversation.
And is there anything else that you'd like to say about the election that's going to be happening later on this year? I can see that already in Tompkins County, there are a number of seats in the Tompkins County legislature that have many candidates entering the race.
Yeah, I think that's all to the good. I think the more voices you get in the conversation, the better, always. And, you know, if there's lots of people running for local office, that means that we've got a vibrant and engaged citizenry, and that's excellent in my view.
Leslie, thank you very much for this wide-ranging discussion, and it'd be really great to have you come back on the news show later on in the year, maybe when it gets closer to the election in November.
I'm always happy to talk about getting more people to vote. It's great. Thank you.